Coming at you from Stretch and Wolf Studio, it's that time again to rage across the internet. It's your very favorite Werewolf the Apocalypse podcast. As always, I'm your host, Porter. Sitting to my right, it's the littlest cow, Mr. Tommy Dixon.
Moo.
And sitting to my left, Ricochet, more like Dickochet, it's Daniel Tyson.
Hey, everybody.
See, that's so stupid.
It's so stupid it's good. You know?
Great.
It's the dumbest fucking thing.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
but hey, great. We are not alone today.
Love it.
Coming from the other side of Weavertown, we've got our very own Melissa and Mr. CJ. Hi. How we doing?
Doing good. Let's get it back.
That's right, yo. We got the full cast once again because it's Q&A time.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys have been pouring those questions in, and then we mentioned that we were going to record it, and then, like, those questions doubled.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, we're going to do one, guys, and then you literally doubled the questions.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
I was like, hey, heads up, Thursday evening crew. We're going to record this on Sunday, and everyone's like, fuck, we'll never have a chance again. Which wasn't true. You could still.
Right.
And I, but yeah, apparently.
So we will try our hardest to get through every one of them.
But if we don't, think we will.
Yeah, I don't think we will either. If we don't, they will move to the third one.
Right. Also, well, let's be full disclosure. Some of those were cut. They've been answered already, or they were aggressive spoilers, and I'm not answering that fucking question.
Or there are a couple repeats, too, but.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to hear the answer to some of those spoiler ones, well, just keep listening.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a bigger deal. Just listen to the story.
Because you'll find out when we find out.
I mean, you got that right there, Tombo.
Nice.
That's just fun to do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, look, yeah. Number one, Tombo is fun to say.
It is.
Sure.
Say it. Say it, Danny.
Tombo.
Don't say it like that.
Yeah, don't be weird about it. What'd you do that with your fingers while you were talking? Yeah.
Fuck off. Definitely did not.
Tom? He did, Tombo, no, he did.
Shut up.
You're on camera. Everyone can see you.
They can't even see
they
me.
They saw you do this.
No.
CJ Mel?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, you guys all suck.
Yep, that's four against one there, bud.
I'm going home.
See ya.
Just kidding, everyone. It's me, Daniel Tyson. I'll answer questions.
15-year-old Ricochet, got it.
Well, do we want to hit quick business real quick?
Because
this is an episode.
I'll just say that I forgot this is an actual episode. We're professionals here.
Like, yeah, we are professionals. We professionally have fun.
It's a good day. Jesus. All right, it's a good sign. We're in trouble. Oh, no. Yes, actually, thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. And obviously, thank you all of you for listening. You guys know the drill. We definitely would be grateful for any support you could give us. We also know times are tough. So reviews, word of mouth, those are huge to help the cause here. But if you're in a position and you feel that we're worth, you know, a little scratch, we do have our Ko-Fi.
ko-fi.com/ragecrossTheInternet.
That's correct. Link is in the show notes. Links in a website, which is ragecrossTheInternet.com.
.com. Nice.
I'll take it. Yes. Oh, of course. Yeah. If you support us there are several tiers, which, you know, we like to give back. We have the rewards for, you know, the NPC of the Month Club, the movie night.
Postmortem and game team.
And speaking of postmortem.
Oh, yeah.
The bundles for The Guilty, which was our second chronicle. That's still up on the Ko-Fi, as well as recently we have put up The Hard and the Easy,
yep,
which was the third chronicle. That also includes the first chapter of our fourth chronicle, which is Tangled Webs. So that if you're, that was February's postmortem. So if you're, you know, worried about missing out.
Trying to catch up.
Yep, yeah, there you go. You'll have the first chapter of part four. And then, of course, you have until the end of March for the second part.
Which already happened.
Which, if it already happened, I think just this once I'll put the second part in that bundle, too.
Whoa.
So Jesus. You have until the end of April.
Yeah.
So okay. There you go, guys.
Just because we are in the future and that screws with timelines and that's not super fair to people.
No, you're right.
And spoiler alert, we are recording this in the middle of March, but hey.
You're right. And that's the thing. So, like, it's already halfway over to catch up. So let's give them a little bit of time. We'll be cool about it.
Kind. It's very kind.
Yeah.
But
and I just threw that on them too. So, like, no one knew about that until I just said it. So I'm getting some dirty looks. It's fine.
It's generous and. You know, at the same time, I want people to hear this. So right. If that's what it's going to take to get, like, hey, we give them an extra episode out of it, fine.
And one other thing on that, you know, website is our affiliate link.
Oh, my God, yes.
Keep forgetting to say that one.
Yeah, the Storyteller's Vault and Drive-Thru RPG.
Yep.
So if you're looking to get some of those books, use our affiliate link. It doesn't cost you anything, but we get some credit, and we use that store credit for replacing some of our research material every now and then, keeping up with some of the new stuff going on.
Definitely helps.
You know, we may or may not be covering some more Storyteller's Vault material in the near future. It really depends on what we like versus what we read.
Versus how much time we have.
And, well, also, and you know, you got to pay for those, and no. So that's where that store credit comes in. All right. Anyway, enough of that.
I think the quick version, we're good.
So let's move on. It's let's play Q&A time.
Yay.
MC Woo. Tommy Dixon.
Tombo.
MC Tombo.
Tombo Dixon.
Tombo Dixon.
MC Dante Fitzpatrick. Because I'd never say my full name enough.
Right.
Even though it's the full human name. But
fine. Hey, you know what? It's fun to say.
Well, because Walks with Anubis is hard to keep saying all the time.
Right? You notice how I keep doing, like, you guys get your fucking names and I, like, rarely use them. I use your stupid human names just for the sake of ease. It's like when your name has stanzas, I just don't have time for it. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's Cassie and it's. We use CJ a lot. I've noticed that.
Well.
Oops. Well, that's a mistake. I shouldn't do that. Yeah.
All right,
I can ask the questions.
No, all right.
Do your job.
So we will start off with Fenix, and his question was, what is the age of each character?
I'll go first, and I don't remember what, it was probably 4-2, where Mia Jawbreaker goes, what are you guys, 14? And, I mean, I flat out said it in the episode, I'm 15 and a half.
Okay, Ricochet is 15.
And a half.
He's 15.
And a half.
Oh, my God.
Walks with Anubis is also 15.
And three quarters.
And who knows? Because I never gave him an actual day.
There you go.
Yeah. Nightfang was in that same scene with Ricochet when Mia asked, what are you guys, 14? And his answer was yes.
Yes, I forgot about that one, too.
That puts Cassie at the eldest at about 17.
She's only 17. Oh. Classic winger.
All right. Well, we will move on then. That is the answer to all that.
You don't want to know how old. I'm not going to do it.
I was going to say
KT and Far 4 and Mia and Bodhi. I don't have the slightest idea. Shut up.
Again, because age doesn't really matter. No. Garu age completely different regardless. I mean, we won't get into it.
But. Yeah, most of them are in their mid-20s. KT's 96.
That makes sense.
She just aged well. She was held back a lot.
Held back a lot?
Well, at least probably in his 20s.
Everyone's something. Who knows?
All right, so the next question comes from, well, there's two questions, actually. This one's going to come from DMST Phil. This one is specifically for Porter. Do you personify all the totems in your games? Do you feel that gives them more relatability to players or even PCs, or is it more along the lines of whatever suits the narrative better?
I like that question.
I'll say yes.
Well, this is for Porter.
I know.
Okay.
But I think the answer is just yes.
Well, the answer is no. So, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Let the man answer. Jesus
Christ. No, this is the first time. I mean, obviously, spirits have a personality and, you know, totem, sure. But in terms of what I did here with Coho Jack, this is a first. And, like, I'm glad to be able to talk about it a little bit. It was actually CJ's fault.
Good job, CJ.
No, for real. Because, you know, we were doing, and like we talked about it before 5-1.
Right.
You know, it was a long fucking day, and I had the thing scripted, but only so much, excuse me. And there's the point there in 4-3 where CJ goes, well, what do we call you? And in my head, you know, the angry, it's been a long day, I'm thinking, what the fuck is fucking Sam? What do you think his fucking name is? In the back of my head, right? But it stuck with me that, well, you know, maybe there was like, you know, like after the game, I was like, maybe there's a better answer to that. And so I had that idea is, you know, normally you guys know, like with Raccoon, with Coyote, I don't normally fuck with them.
No.
But I thought of the idea is, well, this will be Sam in here. He's a greater Jagling. He's on that cusp of getting that complete autonomy. He's like, he's about to make it to the big leagues, you know, so he's got that extra personality and that extra shit with him. He's going to have a name because he's that close and he wants it that bad to be a fucking headliner, an A-lister. He's going to do it, man. And then I thought about how, as you guys will be interacting with him, and I thought about previous totems, Owl, you know, who could just appear on a tree or soaring above you, or Fenris or Raccoon. And I'm thinking, well, Salmon, what's he going to be in, like a little fucking fishbowl floating around? That's so like, oh my God, I hate this already. Right? Like, I hate that idea. That's so dumb.
You just made me think of the goldfish from American Dad.
Something like that, yeah. Right? I'm like, I gotta do better than this. And this was, it was all part of wrapped up in why we, you know, we did that ring the bell second take there at the beginning of 5-1, which is where I came up with the idea of Coho Jack, which, by the way, both the Coho and Jack are types of salmon.
Mm.
So that wasn't a name I just decided to sound wacky. You know, those are both types of salmon, as me being clever.
I like it. Good answer.
Thank you.
I remember you and I talked about it afterward.
Oh, yeah. I was looking up different names.
Oh, yeah.
Like different, you know, words for salmon, different types of salmon to try to get him a proper name. Then I saw, I'm like, okay, I'm okay with Coho. But then Jack. Coho Jack. Fucking perfect. Done. Mm-hmm. Cut print.
And I'll say this, the question from Night Fang was fully in character because I had the feeling, you know, this kid grew up near a desert. He probably has no fucking idea what an actual salmon looks like.
No, it was a
fair... So it was like, politely, hey, who are you?
No, it was a fair question. But again, that was the moment that got the gears turning. Mm-hmm. So fucking credit to you, man. You know, like I said, I don't normally do that, but I made an exception here to give them more personality, maybe make more of a personal connection with the pack, and hopefully it'll, you know, we'll see.
All right. So Phil has a second question for us. Okay. And it's for everybody.
Oh, there you go.
What is your goals as players for your player characters? Also, what are your player characters' goals from their perspectives right now? Do they look toward the future at all or find themselves too much in the now?
So we're just going to do a round table?
Our usual circle. Yeah,
usual circle.
Danny, CJ, Melissa, Tom. So it's sort of alphabetical order.
Sort of. I'll say with Ricochet, his goals changed. At first, it was just survive. And now that the newly appointed job of Alpha of the Pack has been laid upon him, the goal is now make a name for himself, make a name for everyone else he's now responsible for.
Siege?
It's one of those things of, like, in character, Nightwing is still so young that he is partly still looking for, you know, finding his place in the nation, but also with recent events, it's more of, he might be taking some time to talk to some of the other Philodoxes and like actually figure out like, hey, what is our job? How do you do this?
How many ducks is full?
It's definitely very different than when he started because he was fully focused on the superhero angle already. That's still there. But now that he's got a team, he's not sure if he wants to take this to a Justice League situation or not.
Oh, shit. Coho Jack can be Aquaman.
Beautiful. Oh,
beautiful.
Fucking beautiful. Does that make me Buona Beast?
You wish. All right, Mel?
I don't know if Cassie has any future plans. I think she's just sort of living in the now, and this is probably the first family that she's really felt at home with and understands her because they're all going through exactly the same thing. I think she's basically trying to find her feet in all of this. And then, yeah, I think she's living in the now.
Hmm. All right. Tombo?
Locke's never had a goal. I never wrote him with a goal. I wrote him as just a wanderer. So, no, he's never had a goal, and I guess his goal has now come to fruition, and it's figure spirits out. Literally try to figure it out, or else his alpha's going to try to kill him. I mean, that's the blunt of it.
That's been a fun side goal, I guess. It's trying to get those two to, like, stop butting heads.
It'll take some time, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's good interaction. Oh, yeah. I like it. All right, what do we got?
Next,
we have M. And this is for everybody. What is something that you feel your character does / thinks that you maybe don't get an opportunity to voice or portray as often as you might want to?
Oof.
Like that's a deep question.
Right? That's good.
I never really thought about that.
Well, Danny's on the spot, so let's all stare at him.
Well, thanks. Oh, man, I think that's pretty recent now, because, again, just being appointed alpha. All right, stop with those creepy eyes. Stop. Jam that microphone into your face. I think that trying to figure out how to be a leader is something I should be doing. But right now, there's so much in the story going on that I don't have that time to figure out. I don't have time to just sit back and go talk to, like, Mia or Farfour, because he doesn't really give a shit about me anyway. But, like, how to be that leader, that's something that's I'm going to have to figure out how to do as a character in-game, but I haven't been able to yet, much less have had time. CJ.
It's one of the things that I haven't really thought about too much until, well, the question was asked. But I think the main thing that it would be the wannabe superhero stuff, because it's one of those things that me as a player, yeah, we got Ring the Bell and all that. I'm not sure if I want to lean more into it or not to express that aspect of the character, or is he still in the, like, all these people are new, I don't want to embarrass myself just yet. It's that little debate of how far do I want to go with it and how far would the character go that I'm not sure yet. It's a fun little internal debate even for Nightfang himself at this point, because he's already gotten a little shit for the deed name.
And, well, you know. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. That's about all I got for that one, to be honest.
I wish Cassie's protector aspect of her character comes out a little more. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. She's not a trickster ragabash. She's more of a scout style ragabash. And I think I'd like to see that aspect of her come out a little bit more. And I think that's why she's like, she wants to see more peace between the different members of the pack, which kind of irritates her to the point where she falls off an itch.
Snakes and peas.
Snakes and peas.
All right, for Walks with Anubis, I wrote him as more of like a mouthy character, and sometimes I just don't do it at all. Like, I hold back because I think it would hinder the game if I was being more mouthy as the way I wrote him as, and he just has loose lips. That's the way I wrote him intentionally, but he's definitely changing away from that, or at least I'm changing him away from that, because I think that would deter us from a lot of interactions.
That's fair.
I see it like that, yeah. I mean, I probably did pretty close to the same.
I mean, he did get to let loose a little bit on you, but...
Right, but like, I think if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't get that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had that at all.
Well, see, here's the thing that people don't even fucking know to ask. So behind the scenes, the original Ricochet was going to be really, really mouthy. He was going to be a smartass who couldn't back it up, was part of it, too. Mm-hmm. And Tom and I had to have like a mini intervention because
I remember.
Because of how Tom was writing his character versus how Ricochet was originally showing up. And it was stop, drop, and roll at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was the character. And it was like, not only will nothing ever get done.
I would constantly be punching you in the face.
Right. Like, one of those characters would die due to the fucking frenzy of the arguments getting to a head pretty well immediately.
Yep.
And then, of course, we were also concerned with Bleed there. With, like, you know, like, no, Danny, you're going to get mad. Like, no, it's in character. Like, no, you're going to get mad.
Yeah, it'll bleed through.
Yeah. There's no way. And that led you to, you know.
Mm-hmm. It made some changes.
Yes. Which I think was for the better.
It was. And we still get to have our little fun, but we shake hands at the end of the day, which is great.
Right. But that original version, you know, that was that you know, teacher forgot to assign homework kind of character.
You would have gotten punched. Oh, <anyway.
laughs> It would have been bad.
I think even Nightfang would have been mad at you.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't think he would have lasted in the pack. He would have been exiled or killed fairly quickly.
Talk about waylaying a story, right? Because I'm going to deal with like this cub getting killed by his own pack because he wouldn't shut the fuck up. And oh, my God.
Or, you know, might not have been in a rush to save him from the Scrag.
It, right? Like, oh, no, stop. Something bad's happening. Make sure to talk. Oh, I guess you didn't hear me. It's crazy.
Oh, no. Oh man.
What a bummer. Next question.
All right. We got one more from M. All right. And this one's for you, Porter.
Oh, no.
Any good unintended interactions among players or NPCs that you have enjoyed or find notable?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of good stuff, I think. I mean, there's what's scripted and there's what's not, you know. And part of how we do, how I do, you know, you want to make those NPCs as real as possible. And I mean, we encourage the same thing with the characters. So, you know, sometimes a scene just happens the way a character would want it to happen and not how like a storyteller has planned it to happen. But I think of, in terms of character interactions, I think of stuff like Nightfang and Dante, that little scene at the dock when you get pushed in the water or, throwing Ricochet down the hill.
Caught you off guard with a couple of those.
Right. You know, so it's like, I mean, I did script the guac scene, so I can't. But,
Well, you found that no one notable, even though you scripted it.
But I scripted it. It doesn't count, I don't think. I don't think.
She put NPCs, so.
Fair enough. But, you know, I liked, you know what I did? Like the interaction just here at 5-1. Oh. It's aired at this point.
Yep.
With Mia and Bodhi.
Mm.
That was fun.
And you were talking about the interactions we had?
The interactions you guys had regarding Mia and Bodhi. That was great.
This is
like debate outside while you're just watching the door. And you know, I'm envisioning it that way. You're all just like looking at the door and like listening for headboard sounds.
Yikes.
And it's like, nah, it was a medical thing, and, you know, it was her ass, so it wasn't out here in public, because she wouldn't be flashing the whole world.
We put that on CJ so fast. Mm-hmm. No one wants to deal with it. Phil Docs, it's all on you.
Yep, oops, it's going to be your fault.
Yep. This is your problem.
Cassie's like, how are you guys letting this go? And then it turns out to be nothing, and just staring at her, like, oh, yeah, oh, well, it's nothing. That was a really fun interaction.
All right, moving on. We have two questions from Not a Gangrel. His first one, is this game set in the same universe as the one discussed in the retrospectives?
I am going to say no, and I tend to usually say no to this. It's kind of like a no, but. It's like no, but it's probably a very similar one. You know, so this is to say, are the Silent Howl out there somewhere? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the Calamar too. Just maybe not the same exact version, so I'm not pigeonholed into any particular chronology.
I can even see it. Maybe even Ghost and Jaeger are out there, but like maybe a slightly different version of them.
Yeah, maybe. And that's the thing is, you know, like I don't want to rule anything out. So you go like, no, it's not the same one, but it's a close one in case I want to bring elements in or NPCs. Like you're never going to see the Rabies and Chains at Willow's Pass.
Well,
that's
no.
That's way too far from home.
No, they won't leave Jersey.
But will, you know, Jude show? Probably not. Well, is it possible that the Silent Howl could? Yeah, that's possible. They travel. It's
somebody
possible.
From the comb could maybe stroll in. You never know.
You never know. You know, so like, I don't want to rule anything out, but it's not the same world, because if it is the same world, then you do have to rule some shit out.
Right. Next question is, will the actual play end with this chronicle, or are there plans to keep going after the island arc is resolved?
I have plans for 3 chronicles on the island.
Damn.
On the island alone?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Hope you guys are in for the long haul.
Yeah, I have material for, I'm going to say about, because they're not all skeleton.
Right.
I know how this chronicle's ending. I know how the second chronicle's ending. I know what I want to do for the third.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's very impressive, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, we're playing the long game with this one.
Wow, that a little shocked me. I thought you only had 2, but the third one, wow. All right, mm-hmm. I like that.
I'd elaborate, but then I'd ruin shit, so.
Right, yeah, no, you can't.
I got a plan.
All right, moving on. We are going to move on to the Mighty Man Drake.
Hey.
And he's got a couple questions for us. So, how in-depth of a backstory do the characters have? Do they do a few paragraphs, several pages, and how much of it will we actually learn?
Don't look at me. That's on you guys.
Exactly. Ooh. It's on us and our interactions. So I believe what we have. I personally had a page and a half.
Say, I think mine was about 2 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got about 2 pages. Not super detailed, but enough that I could probably pull some experience out for just a random story or two.
Mine was about 2 pages, 2 and a bit, and it went all the way up to her rite of passage.
Yeah.
I like backgrounds.
At the same time, all of our background story went to Porter first, so it had to essentially be signed off and approved.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, and there's a level of trust there. When I'm looking at it in approving characters, I guess what you're looking for varies depending on the experience of the player or your experience with the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, oh, no one's got a 5 in anything because everyone knows better than to do that. Right. Well, I'm 15 and I have 5 in melee. Shut. You can throw that away now. That whole sheet.
Yeah, because if you went that far right off the bat, then what else have you gone wrong with?
Or that no one's doing anything insane like min-maxing. So like they have like a... You know, there's no, like, I'm a time traveler, some dumb shit like that. You got to look for content to make sure it makes sense and it's respectful to the material. And again, I'm looking at this group and it's a group of experienced people. I wasn't super worried about it. And the fact that you're playing Clyatts and, like, you're fresh off your right, which, again, was by design. Mm-hmm. Because now we didn't have to worry about, you know, I didn't want to do another rite of passage. I was already bored of it.
Right.
Let's get immediately into the main thing. And so having you guys come together, you know, not as an established pack was important because your characters didn't know each other. But also at that early stage, the background is so important, but it's only important for like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's true.
Because you're building those experiences, you know, and that's the rub with that. It's like, oh, you got this whole human, you know, the hominid life you had to worry about and your intro to the nation. That stuff's important, but it's not going to be for long because you're doing all sorts of firsts now. And that's going to inform the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't. That's why I didn't write much for my beginning background. I gave basically how I'm going to act the character, his little bit of experience here and there, and then most of the bulk of it was my rite of passage, was his first change in rite of passage. That was the bulk of my background. The rest of it was just how I'm planning on playing this character. Maybe I could give you a couple things when he was at 10, but that other than that,
right.
It's not that important. What's important is what's going to happen.
Right, but like, and that's the rub with that, with those other characters, is it's so important to have that early stuff, but it stops being mm-hmm. important at, like, story 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's that foundation.
All right, moving on to yes. Drake's next question. Unless you guys had something to add.
Yeah, not really. Like, my old backstory, yeah, it was just a few little important events for the character that would influence how they act. Most of the lead-up to the first change and the first change, and the rest was left fairly basic, so I can make a decision if it's like, yeah, is this something he would have done or learned at this point?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how background should be built. Mm-hmm. All right, next question is specifically for Porter. Who is your favorite NPC to play so far and to voice, if different?
I think those are different.
Hmm.
Right now, and I'm just going to look at this chronicle,
sure.
Not of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Farfor is my favorite, but Bodhi is my favorite to voice because it's the easiest.
That makes sense.
I'm thinking Patrick Swayze in Point Break.
Oh, that's it was exactly the inspiration point for Bodie. Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
That's why I named him Bodie.
Oh, it's even better.
I will say original Carter.
Okay.
Who I sometimes slip into anyway. Mm-hmm. Man, like I gotta do the squeaky like I'm supposed to with Carter because I want to do the squeaky thing because it's based on Eminem and Eminem's a dick. But you know, like I fall back at a Carter. Like I do this one. And I think this is too cool of a voice for that character. I like the voice way more than the character doesn't deserve that good of a voice.
Is it good? Your Carter voice is good, though.
Is it too squeaky up here, man? Is it hard to be sustainable? Look, it's almost meat rod.
It's so close to meat
rod. It's almost meat rod. And it's just, I have to not make it a cartoon. So you got to get it. Bring it back like that.
Yeah, bring it back in the throat a little more. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's a little harder to do. Oh.
Oh. All right. Next question, then.
Yeah, moving on. Uh-oh.
What has been your favorite moment caused by dice in the game thus far? And then favorite planned moment? I think the guac scene is your favorite planned moment.
The guac scene is my favorite. It's one of the favorite things I've ever written, and yes. I've said like 100 times. So, yeah, the guac is my favorite planned moment. My favorite dice-related moment, it was the time that you botched and biffed yourself in the face with a tree.
I can't believe how many botches we've had in this already.
It's hilarious. I love it. But the you smacking yourself in the face with a tree was my favorite dice-related moment.
Oh, I remember that too, because it was just something so...
So innocuous. Yeah, it was a perceptual. He's just looking around for the ghost and, poof, oh God, was a tree there?
Yeah, again, it was very innocuous. There was nothing going on. He was just looking for something. It's not like it was a huge combat moment.
Right, and it was one of those moments, like when you're walking through a door frame and for some reason you check it with your shoulder. Like you somehow missed the door.
It's bad because I actually do that a lot.
Right, like that happens, yeah. So it was just like that, only you did it with a tree.
All this forest here, and you found the tree.
I found the tree. That was a good perception roll.
It was.
I found something. Mm-hmm. All right, two more from Drake here. Have the characters been gaining experience and spending it, or is that something that we will get to focus on later?
I have been doing the experience in chunks. The last time we did experience was off screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how that will continue.
We're trying not to waylay the game.
This is the boring stuff anyway. You don't really want to hear that.
Right. In terms of it being spent, I don't remember. I know.
I think we each bought a gift.
I spent mine. I bought a right.
I know Mel got a gift.
Yep. I got blurred.
Yep. Yeah, I don't remember. It was, you got to keep in mind is like you guys are hearing these chapters once every other week, yeah. But we game once a month. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of us spent, some of us didn't.
Right.
I don't remember.
Like, I think it was after chapter 3, I think, is when the experience was done.
Maybe. Oh,
4. No, it was after 4.
Was it after 4?
It was after 4, because I got it when we were playing 5. I bought it that before we started playing 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see, there you go. Like, I don't remember.
It was right after getting the total. That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the bookkeeping.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's just not entertaining for people to listen to.
Yeah, I don't think it is, and it's not entertaining for me to do, but I don't think anyone here feels like they've been ripped off.
No.
No.
CJ, Mo?
No.
See, there you go.
I've just got too many choices to go for with my XP.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think CJ's the only one that hasn't bought anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. Things will show up in time. Ever, you know. It'll be cool.
All of a sudden, they have a new gift they get to play with, and you just hear it as they use it.
And that's where behind-the-scenes shit happens, too. Like, you know, the downtime in between games, or, you know, a time jump during the game. You know, the couple days have passed. Mm-hmm. You know, if we had more time, we would roleplay all of that. But, again, we meet about once a month, and that's what we can do.
Okay, we'll move on. Drake's last question. For the players, what has been the biggest challenge you feel your character has faced caused by their, quote-unquote, expected auspice role?
The leader thing. I think everyone was expecting me to take leader just because I was the Haran. And then I was so against it from the very beginning of us playing. Like, I did not want to do it.
And low.
Yeah. Oh, man, look at that. You got it.
But at the same time, it's because I was playing the character.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I was in my head. If you guys listen to that episode, obviously, hopefully you have by now, but that might have taken, what, 30 seconds in, like, recording? But it was almost a 15-minute conversation between all of us because of all the... No one knew what to say. No one wanted to take it. So we all had to take a break for a second. All right, what are we going to do? And obviously all that gets cut out. Because
we had never discussed it prior.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. We didn't discuss it prior. And I knew in my head I didn't want it, but I had to go back to the headspace of that character. He's learning, and he's learning fast, and he doesn't have a damn choice.
I mean, welcome to the nation at that point.
Yeah. Right?
See, it's funny because I wanted to be alpha. Cassie is not an alpha type character. So I had to go with her style, even though I was gritting my teeth and going, nope. I can just shut up and let this happen organically. But
I've said that so often.
Cassie is watching. Cassie is watching.
You finally broke her.
Hey there, Porter. Look like you're dying.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
CJ?
I'd have to agree with the alpha situation in a respect of, like, it's something that in my mind Night Thing might have jumped on immediately, but also out of character. I didn't want it. Last game I played it, I was the alpha for the majority of that game, and with this pack, it's like, nope, I could not herd that pack of cats in any meaningful way.
Oh, it's already a struggle.
Yeah. But for the auspice thing, like, definitely the seed where, you know, Bodhi and Mia were in the room and everybody was getting on Night Fang for that. That's been the closest, like, actual struggle, because into the episode I was thinking, okay, I'm going to start actually doing my job as a Philodox. And then that happens.
Like, nope, I'm going to wait till after this.
Let them finish. I mean, let's get more information.
I mean, obviously everybody knows my struggles. Doing the spirit stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to come to a head. Me and Porter had talked about that.
Yeah.
I was playing that a little too timid.
Yeah, I think you're overcompensating.
I am overcompensating, and yeah, that came up in an episode.
Actually, yeah, it did. Yeah.
Well, that's because this one's going before that one.
Well, be that as it may.
Yeah, whatever.
Time Look, we starts. Are still, yeah, we're still in the fucking, right?
Yeah, but we had a talk. I will get better at it. I know that me and Porter are going to be doing something on a weekday here shortly where we're both going to just kind of one-off it. Won't be recorded, but it'll help to improve the character's headspace on being a damn Thurge. And I know that kills Mel because she wants Thurge.
Well, I'm excited for it, too. Because, I want to see more Thurge stuff. I love the spirit stuff. The fucking creativity. I'm a big fan, so I'm excited to see some more.
That's why I also bought a right instead of buying a gift. So I'm forcing my hand on this.
Good.
So yes, my Thurge biggest challenge is yes. This.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Thurge is your love.
Total. Yeah, they're my wheelhouse. So every time I'm like, this is awful.
You hear that, Tom?
Thank you, Mel. You are not playing a good ragabash, but I'm not bashing on you on that.
You're not ragabashing?
No, I know I'm not playing a good ragabash because it's not in my wheelhouse.
You know what, though?
This is probably my first one ever.
There you go. You guys have just swapped roles. But I'm also glad we're not seeing any of that obnoxious, jokey Smurf shit out of you. Like, I'm pleased to see that. Because you can get, I mean, it's very, we've talked about this before.
Oh, many times.
Where it's easy to have a character play a ragabash in a way that just dismantles the game and just waylays it with jackassery.
Yeah. Well, I'm a ragabash. That's just what I do.
Yeah, like, that's I hid the car key so we can't progress with the plot. Aren't I adorable? No, you're not. Go fuck
banana
yourself.
Banana in a tailpipe thing. Yeah.
We're not going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe.
No, that's why I kind of went, because I'm not a practical jokey type of person normally. That's why I kind of went with the sort of scouty style of ragabash, because I know that I personally can't pull off a sort of jokey jerk type ragabash that would upset everybody in this game. So that's would just be, it's like everybody, it's like playing a Malkavian that's crazy all the time. I couldn't play that sort of jackass ragabash.
Yep. Yeah. Like the fish Malk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
See, and I like that we switched roles like this because this just makes for better content.
I agree.
It really does. I mean, I could play good ragabash, you play good Thurge, then.
But even then, like Crimson Ghost wasn't that guy either.
No.
You know, I look at, and I'm going to make this quick because I know we have like 100,000 more questions. And then we have a game after this.
It's true.
You know, like there is a version of Dempsey out there that was more like Silent Bob.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, well, in regards to where, you know, like he'd keep his cool, keep quiet to the back, and then he'd be the guy like everyone's working on their plan, like on the big battle plan, right? He'd walk up and go, oh, yeah, but you guys figured out, you know, how to protect the flank here, right? Because that's like wide open. And then just walk away.
I like that, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Kevin Smith would do with Silent Bob before he, you know, became a total hack. That's where the true. Character would just stay quiet and then drop some wisdom and then walk the fuck away. Mm-hmm. And there was a version of Dempsey that was like that.
So true.
That was also back when he talked like Lucky Charms. And then, like, it was just a fake because he was from Orange County, bro.
Nice.
Yeah. He just put on the accent just because he's Fianna, right? I'm supposed to be a leprechaun, I guess. And they just do it to fuck with people.
Hey, let's move on.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions.
I know, my bad.
All right, we're going to move on to Tracer Smith's questions.
Okay.
Got quite a few here, too. What power allows for Gnosis to be stolen?
I don't know. It's crazy.
That is a good question.
You should just maybe
tune in and find out.
Yeah. Keep listening.
That's right.
Because that's a plot point. And
spoilers.
Spoiler. All right, next question. What led to Cassie being on her own? Specifically for you, Mel.
Are you sure it didn't say specifically for Mel?
I think we had discussed it in previous episodes, but Cassie is effectively a runaway / foster kid. That was her concept. Her parents were killed in a Fomori attack. They were both Black Fury kinfolk, and effectively, the Black Furies dropped the ball. They arrived too late. CPS had already come in and basically put her in a foster home. So every time she tried to run away, because she was always angry, she didn't understand that she was a guru. She was not brought up in the nation. So every time she ran away because she was somehow sort of, they considered her broken, angry, and generally just not somebody they wanted to deal with. So she was passed from home to home to home until finally she had her first change in a rather tragic situation, and she booked it because she felt that the police were going to come find her and arrest her. So she is effectively on the run.
I mean, really, any logical teenager would probably act that way in that situation.
So, yeah.
True.
All right, then. Next question for Porter.
Uh-oh.
When is the reworked combat system coming out?
That is actually not a Porter question.
Oh.
And like, I would tell you who the question belongs to, but I don't want to throw any friends of the podcast under the bus.
Okay, then.
So soon.
But
how soon?
I don't.
We can't tell you.
Look.
At least one asterisk next to that.
Yeah, there are multiple asteri, if you will. because, you know. Rage Across Combat, if you will. A friend of ours kind of has dibs. It's going to go in that person's Storyteller's Handbook or Storyteller's Vault installment first. And then I may or may not be working on a secret project that will also include it. But dibs to that first project, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus.
Okay, good answer. So next question. How did you pick the pack name? Did everyone vote? Was there a general discussion? And this is a big shout out to CJ because he just popped it out there and we were like, that's gold.
Question answered. Yeah.
Yeah. Question answered.
CJ just had an awesome suggestion. And it was just, I don't even think we were talking about the pack name, were we?
No, not at all.
It was like one of those things of like, we're eventually going to have to come up with something. I had made a joke of like, maybe we're like the Dazed and Confused. or the Dream Chasers.
Yep, I remember that. It took Dazed and Confused, and that was hilarious. And then you're like, yeah, well, the Dream Chasers. We're like, holy shit, that's an awesome name. And we, yeah, it stuck.
And to add a little extra behind the scenes to that, first of all, Vedoma's original deed name was Vedoma Dream Chaser.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was. And it was that because one of my favorite RPG franchises is Wild Arms. And Tom, you might remember this because you played a little bit of it.
Just a little.
Is in that world, in that first game, there were these kind of nomads, these wanderers that were called Dream Chasers. Which is where I named Vedoma Dream Chaser. And then by coincidence, you guys pulled that out for this. So like I'm behind the scenes going, that's fucking super cool. But didn't want to, you know.
No, we were all unanimous as soon as he said it. We were like, right? That's perfect.
Like it's just crazy amounts of coincidence. But I thought it was super cool that there was that crazy amount of coincidence.
And honestly, that's, in my opinion, like how pack names kind of should work out. It should just be something mildly descriptive of the pack and or what brought them together, but it should just be something they come up with.
And it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like I said, the rest on mine was just fucking random happenstance, but how seriously.
No, I don't blame
how
you.
Cool is that, is right?
Awesome. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy.
That's
rip the band-aid off. All right, moving on to another person. We got Aegis Andro.
Yeah, hey, Aegis.
Aegis. Yeah. All right.
I mean, hi to everyone else, who thanks for all the questions. About
yeah, well, I mean, everyone's getting their shout-out. All right, his first question is, could we have a list of each character and a small description of each one pinned in the channels? Or maybe its own channel where we can have the map and maybe portraits of the characters?
Yeah, we talked about this before.
Just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, this is about time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
you know.
So we will definitely
we have every intention of putting up an extra thing for the actual play on the website
or on the Discord or both.
On the website, so it's there for Discord or not. Like that's where I want it.
I know the question stems because on our Discord, a lot of the games in there, people do generate images and throw them up of their characters. So yeah,
right. But we don't play on the Discord.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, because of the podcast, I want to do it as a section on the website. It's about the time and resources to get that done.
Okay.
So it's in the works.
In the works. Look forward soon.
Right.
Next question is, what was...
Soon.
Soon.
Soon. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Next question. What was Porter's plan in case of the pack deciding to go murder path on the reporter before her nature was clear at the end of the chapter Bridges?
Oh, you weren't. They weren't going to get to KT. That's why members of La Magnifique were behind her following her.
Yeah, because I was lunging for it.
Right. So. And then I storyteller interferenced you the fuck away from her.
Because, yeah, I was about to go murder path on that. Exactly. Because I saw a flash of a camera and I went, noob.
Yeah, and instinct kicked it. And then, you know, so did Mia.
Right. Yeah. Mia kicked in.
Yeah. Like your instinct kicked in and then Mia kicked in. So yeah, that was never going to happen. She had plot immunity for that scene.
Plot immunity.
I like that. Plot immunity.
Yeah. She had like level 12 plot armor. She wasn't going anywhere in that scene.
All right. Next question. For the ghost, quote unquote ghost Porter is using some classic. Are you using some classic storytelling or some Wraith mechanics? And if it is, which one?
Yes.
Nice. I knew that was going to be the answer because it's going to give things away. So yes, tune in. You will find out. Next question is, I am curious about exactly what would happen if any of them fall to the water with the tentacle creature, damage each turn, roll against grapple, or drowning.
Again, yes. Any and all of those things were fair game.
This is true. I mean, if all of us fell in and nobody was there to help up, yeah, any and all of that is fair game.
Yep. You want to fucking fight the Kraken, that's your business. Any of that fucking... You're not going to dehydrate. That's the one I'm going to rule out at that point.
Dehydration.
I think that's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to rule out.
All right, last question.
We're burning to death.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Well, that's true. Okay, that's good. Last question. For Porter. Usually one success is enough to get things done unless it is something very hard or complex. Is your standard to get more than one success to get a get more from the players, or are you ruling depending on the situation?
Well, three is your standard competent success. You know, so less than three, it's you did it, but it's levels of barely or crappily.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Crappily.
It's like you still did it. You just sucked at it.
Right.
You know, you get your three, you did it well. So, and then, I mean, there's your scale.
And that's just.
Yeah, it's just out of the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Next set of questions is from Andre.
Hey.
Andre Skilletief.
Very good.
Skilletief.
Skilletief? Is that how the. Yeah, I wasn't going that far with that, but Skilletief.
Okay. Well, I gave the deed name.
Oh, all right then.
Yeah, that was me. So, Skilletief. Teef. Like, give me your name, Teef.
If yeah, but if you guys want to know the background of that, get on our Discord.
All right. Andre will steal your bones. Don't fuck around.
First question is for the players. What do your notes look like? And Porter, what does your script look like?
All right. We'll
start with the players first.
Yeah. I am no longer taking notes. I was in our previous games, but now this one, I'm listening to these like 3, 4, sometimes 5 times. We're playing on the day. I'm editing it. Sometimes I listen to it 2, 3 times for the edit. And then I listen to it the day it comes out. I'm probably listening to it again on Friday that it comes out for YouTube. And by that time I'm listening to it on Friday, it's because I'm gathering more notes in my head.
Which makes it sad because we're losing tinfoil hat Danny.
A little bit, but at the same time, his quote notes are now super on point. Also, he's probably going to get so sick of us.
This is true.
I'm surprised he can still stand to do this.
But yeah. I am sad we are losing tinfoil hat Danny.
It's a different character, though.
I know, but it's still fun when tinfoil hat Danny comes out.
Yeah. I've had a couple. I've had a couple nonsense, like.
But not as often as it used to be. That's the thing.
No, but like, case in point, he and I had a conversation on Friday where I explained to him why the thing he thought was really dumb and didn't make sense. And like, not in a way where I was shitting on him, but like, in a way where I was.
About this.
Right, like, I'm pointing, but I'm like, but what about that? Because you saw that happen, so you know that's not how that goes. And there's the pause, and he's like, fuck. All right,
that's fair.
My notes are pretty simple. I mean, you guys are listening to most of them. But other than that, I've got a small Google Doc that just, I will say my notes barely make sense. They're like a name if we meet somebody and then 4 or 5 words after that. It's one of those things that, thanks to the episode itself, it's like timestamps almost for myself.
Yeah, that makes it a little but easier.
Yeah.
No?
I have my character sheet, and I have a notebook, and I take a lot of notes. I'm a note taker. I can't stand having incomplete notes. It drives me bonkers. I'm a little OCD about it. So, and that way I can refer back to it if we're in game, or just because something popped up into my head in midweek, and I'm like, oh, I need to find out if we've asked this particular question or whatever. But then I always listen to the podcast as well. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, which wasn't in my notes, which makes me then add it to my notes.
Beautiful.
Well, Tom first, obviously. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're going to answer your question now?
Well, no, I was going to respond to Mel's thing, but then I'm cutting you off.
That's fine. I'm responding to Mel's thing. And then
I will, goddamn it. Fine. Fine, then. No, like, as a storyteller, I love to hear that. You know, I mean, that's why when we started gaming, I handed out notebooks to these guys. Because it's like, hey, we game once a month. I don't expect you to remember everything that happened on a game a month ago while you're living your life, but I expect your character to remember everything that happened to him 20 minutes ago, despite the fact that it has been a month in the real world. Mm-hmm. So those notes are great. And while like it's definitely easier for everybody that we have these recorded for like the whole world to listen to, no pressure, everybody. Good job. I'm such an ass. I mean, that's great, you know, because like Dan, like you don't take notes because again, through editing and, you know, podcast day and being here, you've heard this game
multiple times.
But on the day, you can't go, hold on, let me put on chapter 5-2 to refresh myself. You can't do that.
No, and I don't.
Well, I know, because you can't. We're not going to go, everyone wait an hour and a half.
Wait for Ricochet. He's got to put his headphones on.
Right? He's got to re-listen to the show.
The tape deck. Nice. And his cassette player. Nice. Walkman.
So, yeah, that's what it is. Thank you.
So, yeah, having, you know, like those, Mel being an OCD note taker is awesome. Like, I love that as a storyteller. I love to hear that in a player. Tom?
My notes mainly consist of places, people, and that's about it. Because, like I said, we have these recorded, so situation-wise, I've been listening. Obviously, not nearly as much as Danny, but I listen to the pre, and then when it comes out, so I hear it twice, unlike your eight.
Well, I mean, we can change that, and you can edit for me.
Get right on that.
If anyone out there wants to learn how to edit,
yeah,
and doesn't mind working for free.
I'm already doing it. Free sucks.
Just saying. My scripts, like, I'm not even sure how to answer it.
You're not allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess don't look at my maps.
Don't look at your maps.
I'll say I have what I call the back pages, which are where the stats go. You know, any encounters, those are on separate pages at the end of a thing. And I will usually script to scene per page. For example, the last chapter 5, which I think will be all aired by the time this airs.
If
or
not,
is that not true?
5.3 won't be out.
5.3 will not be out.
This goes in between 5.2 and 5.3.
Okay. So I will script a scene to a page. You know, the stuff with at the cabin with Bodhi and you guys coming back in the scene with Dave that I loved. I love that scene too. Mm-hmm. The just homeless, that look went out in Jersey in the 50s, you know, that whole thing. I'm dressed like an adult. You're welcome, planet Earth.
Even his fleas have crabs.
Right. Like, it was just so informative of who Dave is as a character. Mm-hmm. And just that one little paragraph, you learn so much about the guy if you're paying attention.
I love that little scene.
Right?
I really did.
But, like, that scene was all a page or two, and then I will take a page break. Or, like, if it's a page and a half, I won't continue that back half of that page. I'll start it to a new page, and, like, now here's the stuff with KT. And the reason I do that, and I especially do it with you guys, is because of how this isn't as tightly structured as games in the past have been. And, like, you guys, Danny, Tom, you can verify here that this is a bit more freeform.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more ad-lib to it.
Which makes it a lot harder to script. So I will script to scene and have those separate. So if I have to grab a section, you know, I look for the page that starts with KT's apartment in bold. Okay, that had to happen. This is the page I need. Back at the cabin, that's the page I need.
So you have things written down that you know need to happen, but as far as script and dialogue goes, most of that is ad-lib.
Most of it. Sometimes, like again, the Dave scene.
That needed to happen, so it was fully scripted.
Yeah. Like, I'll envision a scene and script around that, but...
Okay. Next question. Can we get a breakdown on everybody in the La Magnifique pack? You can by joining our Ko-Fi.
Oh, shit.
Because that's good. Pack has been scripted and given out as rewards.
Some of them have shown up. You know, Bodhi, Mia, we did Falling Leaf, who's not first. Part of La Magnifique, but...
And if you read those two before you listened to that scene of them in the bedroom and what were they really doing and, hey, Philodox, get on this, you would know...
Not even the case at all.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be the case, but...
That's a little advantage you guys as players had because you proof those.
But it was still fun to act out.
Right, because the characters didn't know, and that's important.
You know, when I proof those, I sent back, damn it, I'm not allowed to know half of this.
I know, but it's got to go out. We need to make sure the quality's there for everybody.
I think Tom's right. If you really want, like, a full description on that, that's the Ko-Fi stuff. That's the NPC of the month.
As far as that, though, yeah, just keep listening, and you will learn more about them and how they break down as we go.
All right, next question. Did you come up with the newspaper clipping in KT's conspiracy board, or are they a thing you had planned beforehand?
We know little A, little B.
Oh, okay. Little A, little B. A little bit of both.
Yeah. You know, it's just like some of that is a potential thread. Some of it's fucking nonsense. You know, like, everyone just assumes that, like, oh, it's on KT's board, so it's a real plot point. She might just be nuts, man.
Conspiracy theories, you never know.
Right. Like, maybe some of that's real, maybe some of it's not. We'll find out.
All right, next question is, will we ever see the murder board Porter has for this actual play?
I doubt it.
That'd be a lot of work. Next question.
Probably.
Or, no, go ahead, CJ.
I was just going to say, probably a lot of work and a lot of spoilers.
That's the spoilers is the main thing.
Okay. So when everything's over, maybe.
Well, you know, I fully expect once the Chronicle is over, we will do maybe like a live show postmortem or something.
Oh, that would be fun.
No, that would be cool.
And so like some of those secrets could be revealed and shit like that. You know, I know we were talking about the other thing for the quote off season between Chronicles 1 and 2, because I'm going to need time to get a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, probably that then.
All right. Next question then for everybody. What was your favorite part of the Totem Quest?
I'll say the mini games.
Like the climbing and yeah. the hopping yep. and the climbing.
Turtle. Playing Frogger.
Basically.
Yeah. Turtle jumping, rock climbing, and...
Hootenannying.
That's a hoedown.
Yeah, I'll go with the mini games. It was different. It was something we've never done before, mm-hmm. so it was a lot of fun.
Siege?
For me, it was definitely... I'll stick with the mini games. That's the easy answer, but... Like, going through the tunnel, I was just, for the life of me, trying to figure out, okay, what is it? What's the gimmick? What's the totem? But then, you know, when we got to the turtles, it's like, okay, I had an idea. I don't anymore. Let's just roll with it. And when I almost got grabbed by the Kraken, that was great.
Well,
I'm going to say the turtle hopping. That was fun. And the little rock monsters, those are fun too.
Throwing that guy down a cliff was my favorite portion of that.
That guy being Rico Suave.
Rico Suave. I know it was good because I finally got to do what my character is like. Like, you pissed him off enough, you're getting the consequences of this.
But that was more character interaction. I think the question is more of what...
It's part of the Totem Quest.
I mean, fine.
Don't get me wrong. I loved the mini games too, but everybody answered that, and not gonna lie, I did love the part of throwing you down. That, I mean, come on, funny. I used a lucky to memorable. Make sure I could do that.
The fact that you had to use the lucky was my best part.
For me, it's for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the subtle allusions to the identity of the totem. You know, because when you're doing that, I mean, you don't have to. You can make it obvious. That's fine. There's a million different ways to do a damn Totem mm-hmm. Quest. But I like to surprise everybody, especially with everyone going off the lists and who's it going to be? No one knows. I like to feed into that. But I also like to hint. So, you know, you listen back to that chapter, and I did a lot of allusions like blue, alluding to water.
Yep.
I mentioned the scent of like decaying seaweed. You know, I used a lot of allusions to aquatic themes. You're doing the climbing as like swimming upstream. You know, it got less subtle as I went, but
I was going to say, yeah, it was definitely a lot less subtle the closer we got, but
there you go though. Cause it
listening,
was,
yeah, listening to those. And again, 3, 4, 5 times sometimes. And then hearing those, like, holy shit, he told us. If you hear it and you're actually listening, you knew before you got there.
I want to point out actually to give credit where it's due. Andre called it. Like almost immediately. Like if you look in the actual play discussion, I think 4-1 Andre called it.
Good on you, Andre. Good on you. That's so funny. And it took me again listening 3-4 times, and she got it before we even got to the end of the quest.
Yep. I was super proud.
All right. Still moving on from Andre. Or not moving on, still with Andre's questions.
Oh, the brand. Look at that.
What were the rock people in the quest?
Antagonists.
And that's all he's giving you.
Well, there's no, like, secret here. It was just I needed, you know.
Rock spirits. Just
yeah, just like rock spirits. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, it was all a test, but it was all Jack seeing what you guys would do. This is a totem of wisdom. So, like, it wasn't whether or not you won the fight. Like, Fenris would have cared that you stood your ground and won the fight. But you were aggressively out, and you had a force that you found, and you were able to gauge its strength by the singular encounters, and then the avalanche started coming. And so it's like, well, how are you guys going to react to this? And this is what Jack was looking for. So it was just, you know, another device as part of the quest.
Okay. Now, this is a fun question.
Oh, boy.
Clowns.
Answer in character.
Oh, no.
If tomato is a fruit, does that make ketchup a jam?
Tomatoes are gross.
Red water. I mean, but the better question there is, if tomato is a fruit, does that make salsa fruit salad?
Ooh. Well, then what's Ricochet's answer to this?
Ketchup is gross. Tomatoes are gross. That's in character. I hate them both.
So weirdly anti-tomato crowd here.
Yeah, I'm fine with tomatoes.
I'm going to have to write that in.
Oh, boy.
Somehow.
Write in some clowns, too.
Yep.
I much prefer.
With tomatoes for noses.
With tomatoes for noses.
Oh, man.
Main antagonist confirmed. Tomozo the clown.
Dante is just like, well, that's seriously interesting. I never thought of it that way. I mean, that's exactly.
And that's just your answer.
I love both, so.
Now confirm for New Gorgon, Tomozo the clown.
Tomozo. Tomozo.
Okay. Next question.
Chapter 6, everybody. I'm going to do some rewrites immediately.
Next question. What's the Dream Chaser's opinion of each member of La Magnifique?
Right now, they're the only other pack we know of. So Ricochet is very much looking up to all of them.
I mean, that's true. Even for walks, it's the same thing. Have really been around them long enough to really form an opinion yet? I mean, we have, but not. If you know how that works.
I do. I think if there's any standouts, I think in particular would be the worthier part. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough of them, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking six of them.
I mean, he's looking to me a Jawbreaker the most, but just as a Harang. And he wants to look too far as leader goes, but he's not ready for that yet.
And I don't think I can give my answer just yet, because I don't think it's aired yet, on who I'd be looking forward to because of a reason.
Okay.
Coming soon to the end of 5-3.
It will be next week's episode.
Right. And just if you're listening now, next week's episode, you'll figure out who I'm channeling more towards. Mel?
I don't know if there's anyone Cassie sort of has any opinion of. They're not her pack. She's not even sure if she likes any of them. She doesn't know them well enough to like them. So I guess it's kind of like that sort of disconnect.
Yeah, it's a similar thing of like, while the pack has known them for, what, a couple of days at this point, these are also like some of the only other Garu that they have met. So even Nightfang's like, he's starting to form a few opinions on some of them, specifically Dodger and Mia. Only like real opinion is he likes Bodhi's chill out of everybody because his pack needs to learn some of that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, who are you kidding?
Well, I will say hearing those answers, I'm excited for you guys to get to know those NPCs better.
I'm hopeful that
you guys get to know those NPCs better.
I'm excited to get to know them better, but time will pass. Okay. Pass for that, obviously.
I mean, obviously, but yeah, you know, it's...
We're in chapter 5, come on.
Right. Well, I think it's one of those things, too. Like, I remember back in, there was a time at the Summer Rain where you're like, well, hey, Tom, where you were like, you know, well, Dempsey's supposed to be my mentor. I'm like, yeah, but you have to fucking talk to him.
I don't want
to. Right, but there it was, you know? It's like he's not just sitting there waiting to hand you sage advice. He's got shit to do with his day. You have to interact with him to interact with
but
him.
But I should be on his shit to do for the day. No, I'm just kidding. All right, last question from Andre. Porter.
Yo.
Why a little girl ghost? That was a big nope for me.
That's a shame, I guess.
And obviously you won't answer it due to spoilers.
Spoilers.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, also, and Danny and I were actually talking about this on Friday. Mm-hmm. About, you know, there's a level of information that y'all already have that can, you know, lead to, help me out here, Danny.
If we already have some of the information, we're probably already answering it ourselves.
There are leaps of logic you can make.
Yeah, based leaps on of logic works. Provided. Mm-hmm.
And then the last of the question is, Tom, why go after the ghost girl? I was curious, and I wanted to know what she wanted.
Boog it out.
I didn't know it's boog it out, but I was just curious.
Well, that's what ghosts say.
Oh, all right, then.
You don't see a ghost?
Yeah.
But how do we know she's a ghost?
Boo, get out.
Or, boo, get out.
Boo, get out, though.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it's totally different things. It could.
It's weird that you don't know that. You're the Strider. You don't speak ghostish?
Ghostish.
Moving on. We still have...
But, we get out.
30 more questions.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Fuck.
But it's only two people. There's 30 more questions. So moving on. We are moving on to You Can Call Me Gengar.
Hey, what's up, Ginger?
Gengar.
Gengar.
Hey, Gengar.
Gengar. Hi, Ginger. Thanks for the questions.
All right. Now, first question. La Magnifique is quite a large pack. How do packs like these get formed? Could a pack spirit potentially be involved in this, or is it simply convenience?
Well, there's two answers to that question. You know, I mean, packs form the way they form, and packs are many different shapes and sizes. Some of that is NPC of the month kind of answer. Some of that will probably show up organically through game. Mm-hmm. From a behind the scenes standpoint, I wanted to make sure there was a representative of each auspice and tribe that you guys had. So you had someone to learn from.
That's fair.
But, yeah, you know, not the same, which is why, you know, Cassie has Mia for her Black Fury needs, but not for Ragabashing. She has to go somewhere else. She got to go to Carter for that. You know, you want to Strider it up, you got to hang out with Bodhi, Tom.
Awesome.
You want to Thurs it up, you got to deal with Dodger.
Double awesome. I'm not mad at either of those choices.
It you know, it encourages, again, more interaction with the NPCs.
No, I like that. I like the way you did that.
Yeah, because obviously if I want to gravitate more towards two of the rest of the pack, but only specific needs, it's going to be Carter and Mia. But that's not who I'm more closer to, if you will.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, that's why everyone had someone they could identify and form a bond with, ideally, on different levels with different characters.
All right, moving on. For Porter, how do you think of these little mini games you set up? What's the process for creating them and tuning the difficulty, and what's being tested?
Well, really, it was just what was in my heart at the moment. I mean, you know, I've been doing this close to 30 years. It was just something I pulled out of my ass on the day.
You didn't script any of that?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I knew I wanted you guys to do it. Like, I knew there was the, you know, you're going to do the turtle thing. I had that in my head, and I had to climb the thing in my head, but I didn't, those little mini games, no.
No, that's fun. I like that.
He knew we would be jumping turtles, but how we were jumping turtles, he had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't plan any roles. I didn't plan the years. I'm just like, hey, let's just, it's a good visual in my mind. And then suddenly it's like, hey, this may be this, hopefully this will be fun for you guys. You know, something for you to do, add some urgency to it. It's, yeah, just what was in my heart at the moment.
And I like the fact there's always a choice. We didn't have to go up those rocks. We could have found another way around, really, if we really wanted to.
Sure.
Let's just didn't think to ask.
It's true.
Yeah, it was more on us.
I saw the thing went up the one way. I went up the one way. Direct line of sight. Chase it.
Which, again, worked great for me because, again, we're doing the whole salmon thing. But, you know.
Yeah. All right. Next question is a question to all. Do you guys pay any special attention to prevent any quote unquote bleed from happening at the table? If things happen between your characters, how do you keep that in game? Do you find this difficult?
Yes. Yeah, there are times where the whole butting of the heads of me and Tom that I feel like, oh man, this is going to get bad and I don't want it to bleed through. But I go and do something and made it worse anyway. And yes, sometimes I'm afraid you're going to take that a little too personal and I'm afraid I'll take it personal. But I think it's been a nice balance so far where it hasn't been a problem.
I've never had an issue, so.
I'm being honest, I have.
Oh.
I've had the issue. But again, I think that's my own personal headspace.
I mean, you're right, because we're fine.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm fine with playing my character being a complete dick to you, but I'm still, right afterwards, I'm like, That shit was funny. Good job.
I know. I think it's been a nice balance because I do have that problem sometimes in real life, but Tom is still my friend, and I know I can trust him to be able to do that and still be my friend in 20 minutes. Maybe not tomorrow, but 20 minutes. Maybe not
tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, fuck him tomorrow.
What about you guys?
The hardest part is watching you play a Thurge.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
That's so sweet.
I adore you, but at the same time, I'm like, please do this. Oh no, he didn't do that. Like you could try doing this, maybe, kind of. So I find that a bit of a struggle, but yeah. And I'm sure you feel the same way about me playing a Ragabash. So, or maybe not. I don't know. But yeah.
There's been a few. But, I'm not going to sit there and throw you under the bus, but there's been a few.
So now the cracks in the armor start showing. Yeah.
No, that's
thanks for breaking up the band.
In fact, if you have any sort of tips, I'd love to hear it. Yeah. That is the hardest thing for me is watching Tom play a Thurge and going, sweet Jesus, stop this.
Well, just don't let it bleed through and let me learn.
I do a lot of lip biting.
For me, really, bleed's not been much of an issue, but then again, I'm also probably the still newest player out of the bunch. So I'm just sitting around having a good time playing some games and just loving the chaos that shows up. The closest thing maybe would be like minor frustration in the scene with Bodhi and Dodger and everybody piling in all of that once, but that worked more in character than out of character, so it wasn't an issue.
Anything for you, Porter?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I mean, you've been doing it for 30 years. I don't think you have a problem with that anymore.
No.
I think his biggest problem is switching from a male voice to a female voice and back to a male voice within seconds.
Well, that's not at all the same thing. But no. Yeah, sometimes a voice gets difficult. You know, sometimes it gets, sometimes it gets frustrating, and it's my fault, I think. But when I have laid the breadcrumbs out and no one's fucking picking them up.
Okay, I know what you're saying.
It's like, we just got to make a decision. It's right there. Just fucking go there. Like, oh my God, you guys.
But then it's too obvious sometimes, and it's like, I don't want to.
Well, and that's it's finding that sweet spot because, there was that, you listen to the postmortems, those of you who have, whether when they aired month to month, thank you so much to our wonderful backers, or those of you who have bought the bundles, thank you so much for that, and we hope you enjoy those. Where you guys have seen, in hindsight, how I have plotted shit out.
Oh, yeah.
And I had been feeding you for chapters.
Mm, yep.
I think the identity of the arsonist during The Guilty, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It had a little bow on it, it was on a silver platter with your names engraved on the platter.
Yeah, right over our heads.
And you guys are like, there was an arsonist? And I'm like, I we're not friends.
Yeah, that was...
Right, all right. That wasn't our concern. We didn't care at the time. We had other things to deal with.
But we'll say sometimes it's like that, because sometimes like, oh shit, am I writing way too high? I hate to say it like that, writing above your heads. I hate to say it that way, because that sounds not how I intend it to.
I know what you're saying, though.
I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, like, am I overdoing it? Am I underdoing it? And I know that's on me, because I'm the one who fucking wrote it.
And I think that's a little bit... I'll flat out admit it. That was probably one of the most embarrassing parts of that whole thing.
It was, but it was also one of those, it was so obvious that you don't pick up on it. Because it was so obvious. Yeah. Like, it was so obvious that I didn't need to write it down.
And yet, right? But
we didn't figure it out until it was laid right in front of us.
But I think that's the closest I get, is when I've got something and it's like, it's right there. Everybody just fucking, will you just pick it up? Will you just please pick it up?
Yep.
Please, like, there's fucking blinking lights around it. Will you pick it up? Can we move this? Could you pick up the thing?
I need a sign. This is your sign.
Right? The arrows, yep. Fucking a ray of light comes from the heavens to highlight the thing. And everyone's like, maybe we should go take a nap.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
It flies into Ricochet's hands, okay?
Wow, that'd be nice. Look at that. Yeah, there you go.
It's a piece of paper that's the answer. Go to KT's apartment. Oh, fuck. Maybe we should
just walk in.
Get a bite to eat.
Yeah. There's a burger joint right here. Let's go in. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. That was fun.
Ginger asks, when will we get a beach/lake episode?
A little bit all the time.
I don't understand the question.
All right. And I might be wrong. I might be corrected on this later. But it's referring to those episodes in anime where they go to the hot springs, they go to the beach.
The filler, then?
Right. The filler character interaction episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, for me, coming from a comic background before anime was a thing, you know, I would look at Chris Claremont's era with X-Men, and those would be the softball episodes where it's literally the X-Men are playing softball today.
Oh, really?
They're just hanging out playing a game of ball.
Hmm.
And again, we've been referring to these. I've been taught you guys as sandbox episodes. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll get those, you know, or chunks of them in the story where it's just time to hang out and interact with the character amongst yourselves, with the NPCs. You'll be seeing a lot of that peppered in.
And maybe we do act out some of these gifts, purchases, anything.
You know? Yeah. And it's all time permitting and shit like that. Right. But because character growth is extremely important and those interactions are important, and we're playing at my table. So those are going to be important. That's going to happen.
All righty. Ginger also asks, does one of the PCs play an instrument? Would be nice for around a campfire.
No.
We all don't have a galliard.
Nope.
No galliard.
No.
Dave's a galliard.
But specific PCs.
I know.
No instrument.
No instruments for anybody.
No special talents.
But Dave is a galliard, so you might get some awkward white rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Like some early 1993 Vanilla Ice shit. I'm kidding. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that to you guys.
All right. Let's keep going.
You want me to play Dave for like 2 minutes?
You stop talking. You shut your cheesy mouth.
Nice. Eh? Your cheddar mouth.
This is kind of a deep question. Kind of. We can see how this plays out.
Okay.
How does all of your out-of-character beliefs differ from your in-character regarding the litany? Y'all reacted intensely to the thought of Bodhi and Breaker being an item.
That's not even my question. Enjoy.
Oof. Well, we were all fresh changers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And we were all like, well, that's no on litany right there. What the hell? So we all instantly reacted with, well, what the fuck's going on in there?
Yeah, I agree. I think that was very much, we're all brand new. And we know that's not supposed to be a thing. Hey, there's a Philodox.
And your Philodox was sitting here giving them the benefit of the doubt because, hey, these guys aren't brand new. They know people are in the house. They wouldn't be doing this with people in the house. Like, come on. But at the same time, like, there's that inner monologue of, oh, shit, am I actually going to kick down the door and catch them red-handed and have to deal with all that? Or am I just going to pretend not to notice?
Wait, would you have actually gone and kicked the door down? Or would you just wait for the deed to be done?
That's the internal debate that Nightfang was stuck in sort of a panic paralysis of, do I do the Philodox job and like go full Spanish Inquisition on them because I don't think they would have expected that? Or do, we just wait and wipe this under the counter and just make sure nobody mentions it, nobody brings it up. But then, come on, these guys aren't idiots, we hope.
Right.
Yeah, and for me, I was very much doing half and half on that. Because, again, we are young, we are, new, this is still fresh in our heads, but it's like, what if? Oh, shit. But then it's like, oh, no, he's right. What if it's something else? We can wait. We can inquire.
No, and I like the way we all played that off, because it's like, yeah, we are fresh changers, so all of the litany is godsend, and yeah, like, that's just how it's going to be reacted with. Like, those two are in a room, and he's around her butt, and look what? He's around her butt.
Yeah, it was a fun little moment.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think panic paralysis is probably the best way to describe it there for him.
The way I took it is that, the Black Furies do a really weird rite of passage. It's not the standard stuff. So the way I sort of wrote it in my background is that she would have had at least some knowledge, maybe not all the knowledge about the litany, and they would have impressed upon her the first one. If nothing else, the first one is way more important than everything else. So that's why when she heard, you know, I think it was mentioned that Bodhi and Mia were particularly close and they were in that room. And of course, we came in after our sort of totem quest while they were in there and everybody else was leaving. They wouldn't have known that we were here necessarily. So that's why Cassie kind of went, well, look, this can't happen.
If I can jump in on that for a second,
please,
because this is obviously the behind the scenes thing that was scripted a little differently.
Oh,
because I counted on someone just barging in the room. And so I made it look so much worse,
which made for great interaction, though.
Like the way it was scripted, she's on the bed on all fours with her pants down to her ankles in. Bodhi is kneeling in front of her. Oh my God. So you walk in the perspective and you see the back of him and his face about where her butt is. And she turns around and he turns around and they both yell at you to leave the room.
Oh my God.
So I made it look like he was having a snack.
That's the way of putting that.
Yeah.
So, see, now you should have gone in.
Yeah, should have. If you barged in, it would have looked so much worse.
Oh, man.
But again, it was still completely innocent.
Well, yeah.
But perspective and angles and...
Having a snack. Jesus Christ. I'll say that, again, the interactions we had as a group made that for a lot of fun. I felt like our pack... As much as we were arguing on the case, I felt like the four of us were getting closer as a pack. And then I'll say in the next probably close to an hour when we have our game, it's going to be a lot similar to that right off the bat. Things are going to have to be said where we're going to have those kind of interactions again. And they're a lot of fun. And I can't wait for it to happen.
Oh, I am expecting and looking forward to a fucking argument as soon as Chapter 6 begins.
Yep. So am I. And if no one wants it, I'm going to make it. Oh, we'll get to it, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about it off camera, Tim.
Okay, I'm like, what's going on?
No, well, you know what's going on.
You should.
No, we can't say it because it hasn't aired
yet. I don't want to know.
That's the problem.
It's chapter 3.
Come on.
It's crazy.
All right.
You should listen to the podcast.
Now we're moving on to a special segment.
That look.
Oh, what up, Home Slice?
Moving on to your favorite segment, Porter, Ghost Paws Corner.
Oh.
Yeah, Home Slice.
Home Slice.
We're going to give a little theme if this keeps going on.
I know.
If we get a third Ghost Paws Corner, there's going to have to be a Ghost Paws Corner theme.
Because thank you, Ghost Paw. You outdid everybody with the questions on how many you submitted.
My paws are made of ghosts. Spook it out. Here's a bunch of questions. Something like that. I don't know.
Perfect. There you go.
I want more Randy Newman in my voice when I do that, though. We're going to have to practice that.
We have a board we can save that on.
Yeah. Right, we'll get it. We'll get it.
And I told him, hey, man, we're doing questions again. So he poured them all in.
He literally poured them in. So
it's like here are 100,000. Fuck off.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
So this first one does go way back. It was, who was the Getkin with the Viking axes?
I don't know what that means.
I think he's talking about the Gorehound.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Gorehound. He started his questions right after that episode aired, the first Q&A. So, again, we went back to that date, pulled everything we had, and yeah, that was probably his very first question he had from that. But yeah, it wasn't a get, but yeah, it was a Gorehound.
And what was his motivation is the other part of that question.
Being a Gorehound.
That's great motivation.
Look, for more eyes, the thing, man.
Okay. Next question. How come Cassie is always taking care of everyone? She is like the mom of the group.
It comes back to her being at a foster home, probably with multiple people in that foster home, and Cassie being just the protector of all of it. So anyone who was sort of being bullied or beaten up in school or whatever, this is how she got the reputation for being very angry and broken and moved from place to place to place, because she would stand up for people. So this is something that has sort of moved through into her guru life. So when somebody was picking on on Ricochet, she stood up for Ricochet. You know, when somebody was picking on Dodger, she stood up for Dodger. That's just who she is. And I don't see any reason to change that. So it's not like she's trying to be the mom, but she's trying to say, look, nobody is going to pick on these people but me.
You know, one stood up for the guac, though.
I had the guac.
Okay, moving on.
Yep, we got a lot, so.
You're welcome.
Why did the other pack, La Magnifique, so easily let them back in? I'm sensing treachery here.
Well, I can't respond to that second part, right? Like, you can
sense. I know, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's fair. Well, you know, I mean, there's a level of plot device here, okay?
Because the ST said so.
Right, a little bit, because I said so. Yeah,
mostly. Because that's how it was supposed to go down, and
yeah,
it's not how it went down, and I had to reel it back in.
I feel like it was, they were there to be mentors,
yes,
quote unquote.
They have a role to fill, and you guys cocked it up.
So exactly. Look. And we went the opposite direction, so that's how it gets fixed.
Yeah, a little storyteller interference. That's how. That's why.
It's fun going through his questions because you can see how as the story goes, how these questions are going.
Again, we did them by date.
So. I know.
Yep.
So his next question is, what really happened with the camera? She developed a film, I guess. That's what happened.
It hasn't been revealed.
It's true.
I have an answer. You guys just don't have it yet.
Oh. To be determined.
I mean, I can tell you off camera, but.
Next question is, was there film in it?
There was.
Okay. All right, next question is, why is Cassie always so quiet?
I don't know what that means. Cassie is an observer. She likes to listen, watch, observe. Sometimes she feels that speaking isn't necessarily as important as learning.
You know, you saved
that
answer.
She doesn't like to react.
That was going to turn into a whiz-bang of a stalker joke. And you saved it by you kept going.
Yes.
She's an observer. She likes to watch.
Oh, God.
See?
Okay, moving on. Because there's still a lot to get through. Ghost Paw, you rock. Does anyone regret their character decision?
As far as the choices he's made?
So, yeah.
No. As far as what's happened in game and background and story, no. I don't have any regrets whatsoever on this one.
You're not allowed to say joining the game in the first place, for the record. I'm looking at you three, you fucking jokers.
What now?
Yeah.
Joining the game. Is that your biggest regret?
Oh, no. Definitely not.
He was saying, oh, Jesus Christ. Thanks for playing, Tom.
Yeah, right? Thanks for playing.
My biggest regret is stepping foot in this house.
There you go. That's...
Well, fine.
That's on par.
Thanks. Right. Again, thanks for playing.
Yeah. CJ, Mel?
No real regrets, just a bunch of what-ifs and the fact that I can't stop making characters. So, you know, once we started playing as Nightfang, I've already got, like, a character idea in mind that I kind of want to try at some point, but so I'm playing Nightfang for a good while.
He wants you to kill off Nightfang already.
Or just get a Firmus into a Nexus Crawler's mouth next story.
We'll see.
I don't think I have any regrets per se. I think the only thing that I wish I had done was push harder for Alpha. Even though that's not necessarily Cassie's style, she would have done it differently than what Ricochet does. Maybe as a player, I might have pushed harder for the third. Sorry, Tom.
She's just man, twisting that knife in dogging me that she you. Keeps putting in.
No, it's more
she stabbed you?
I'm
yeah,
not,
now she just keeps twisting.
Yeah, she's
so
just
it's
twisting
not
the knife.
I'm not as comfortable in the Ragabash. So I'm trying really hard to be in that Ragabash mindset. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily... Like, I remember the first time I rolled her out for this game. And I was like, I hate this character. I hate her. She is just horrible. So I had to kind of pull her back and change her a little bit. So she, because I think I sort of created her to be that sort of mouthy, sort of teenager type and angry. And I'm like, no, this is not going to work for this game. So I had to kind of pull that back a bit. So yeah, I think that's the only thing that I wish I had, you know, changed. But other than that, yay! I love this game.
I regret letting Mel in on the game.
Oh, Tom, you ruined me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
man, that's a clapback.
No, my regret is just...
Shots fired.
I really don't have it. I haven't played enough of the character yet. I mean, my biggest regret is I'm not taking my Thurge properly. I'm not doing it properly. That's my biggest regret so far. I definitely need to step it up. But I chose this because this is definitely going to be my weakest auspice, anything. Like, this is my weakest character. And I went full bore even picking Strider. Like, this is going to be my weakest all around. So I really need to step it up. And that's my biggest regret.
Yeah, I mean, that's shit that will change. You know, much like Melissa talking shit on Danny's alphaing. He's only been alpha for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I know, she's throwing all of us under the bus already.
I mean,
she's
like, I haven't heard.
Sorry.
Nightfang's still good.
She's like, yeah, you know, I like this game, just everyone's a fucking idiot.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, because at this point, they've only heard 5-2, so you've only heard me be alpha for a second part of a chapter. And then next week, you're going to hear the rest of, and then even then, it doesn't even come up.
We'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll get there. All right, 10 more questions to go still.
Oh my God.
Ghostpod was the man. All right. Why didn't you guys stop and ask the neighbors where the other pack and possibly Falling Leaf had gone to? When we couldn't find the pack or Falling Leaf, I remember this.
Can I answer that for you guys?
Please do.
What were they going to do? Go, have you seen the group of werewolves around, sir?
Have you seen the guy who could be our grandfather who none of us look at all like we're related to?
Right, like, yeah, can you point us to the creepy old Asian man who's been escorting us around the woods?
What, with tattoos all over? Right?
Yeah, there's only so much we can do on that one.
Next question.
Do you know where Chris Hansen lives?
All right. Next question. I guess it could go to Cassie or Porter. How the heck did Cassie get resources?
Stealing. Pure and simple.
And ST stealing. Allowed it.
No, I endorse that. You know, that's How else are you supposed to make money?
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good ingredient.
That's the most
larceny. So
see, she's the larcenist. We've been over that actually. We've done that before, yeah.
All right, Nightfang, got a question for you. Who's your favorite superhero?
Well, for Nightfang, it's pretty obvious if you think about the stuff that he's specifically been looking for whenever he went to the Salvation Army. Batman. It's the easiest one, and plus, you know, yeah, there was a reason why I went for the Batman shirt versus just saying some superhero shirt.
Yeah, I wore a Batman shirt on purpose today.
Under his Rage Across the Internet hoodie.
We got our Rage Across the Internet
shirt. We are all representing today.
It's Sunday, so.
All right, next question. Who is Cassie's role model? What does she aspire to be like?
She doesn't have one. She wants to be the best her.
I would have said Batman.
Wonder Woman.
Just to continue.
Oh,
yeah, this is for the joke.
That's got to be. You got to come something better than that.
No, she doesn't.
Oh. It's her character.
Yeah. No, honestly, she doesn't see anybody that she needs to look up to. I guess the only person that she admires would be Falling Leaf.
See, I thought you were going to say Cheesy Dave. I just assumed you like canoes.
Nice.
Thank you.
Douche canoe.
All right, next question.
You're welcome, Planet Earth.
Sum up your character in a sentence.
Oh, Jesus.
That was your sentence.
All right.
Yep, oh, Jesus.
Jesus. The savior.
Calm down, Kanye.
Oh! Wow.
That was good.
And I was going to cut it, but not now. I would probably say still learning. Still trying to figure out what the hell to do.
You say he bounces off things.
Sure. He bounces ideas off in his own head.
CJ?
I mean, there's a few simple ones I could do here. Like, you have the wannabe superhero or the budget Batman.
Budget Batman. Perfect.
And I think that one probably fits a little bit better.
Mel? Cassie?
Badass protector.
Gandalf.
That's yours. Is that's Gandalf.
Gandalf.
Hold the.
I've been holding the light. We traversed through the tunnels.
Wow.
All right. Gotta have fun with something. Next question. We're too still young to really do that. Next question is for Porter. What steps did you have them take to create their characters? And I mean, like, give us a rundown through the background process you use. And for the players, how did you guys go about it? What books did you use, et cetera, et cetera?
Actually, that's, I mean, I guess it's a good question. It's not a great answer, but it's a good question. Really, it was, I trusted you guys to do your thing. CJ and Mel, and I don't know if I said it. I might not have, and in which case, oops, but in my mind, we're restricted to Haman because they were first time with at my table. Danny and Tom weren't, but they weren't going to anyway.
He knows us.
Sure, yeah.
And that was it, basically. It was, you know, you guys know what to do, and I trust you guys. You know, I think I might have mentioned no attributes or no abilities above 3. You know, the only attribute at 4 is the one that mathematically has to be at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And 93, go. And it was just, I trust you. And if there's an issue that comes up once you submit, we'll deal with it then. And there wasn't. So I got a good group of players. There wasn't any problems. This was really smooth, at least on my end. It might have been nightmares for them. I don't know.
No.
It was smooth for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point we knew what we're doing already, and we knew what you expected. So
for us, it's how did you guys go about it, and what books did you use?
Try book. Book of Auspices. Our episodes.
I won't even lie. I didn't even open a book. I just wrote my character out because we've done so much research that I kind of had exactly where I was going with it anyway.
That was pretty close.
Mel and CJ?
For me, I would say I used the Try book, Book of the Auspice. But one of those books was significantly unhelpful, that being the Stargazer's Try book.
Yeah, I get that.
But other than that, I started off with the idea of, like, yeah, no, I wanted to play this kid who thought they were a superhero or was trying to become one. Because, yeah, it's an angle that I have yet to see. And it just sounds like the logical step for, you know, somebody who's 14 suddenly getting superpowers. Why do you not have a cape yet?
Well, you know, and I've always felt that way. You know, like if in, I mean, many first changes are, you know, pretty bloody mm-hmm. and not so fun. But if you have one that doesn't involve like you killing your whole family or your classroom or whatever, how do you not go, oh my God, I'm a superhero?
Yeah.
14-year-old boy, fucking 99% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. So sorry, Mel.
I flipped through the Black Fury Tribe book, but since I was on that episode, I didn't really need to kind of really dive deep into it. I knew what sort of concept I wanted, and then I just assigned the dots according to what I felt this character would have. So I didn't think she'd be particularly strong, but I thought she might be particularly dexterous, you know, slipping through, you know, getting away from people, that sort of thing, the survival aspect. So I just assigned the dots how I felt that she would be, well, that would match what she was doing. Right. I think I actually wrote the background first and then assigned the dots based on what I had written.
Which, to be fair, is the way it should be. Yeah. Like, everyone out there, that's how you should be doing it.
I didn't fill out my dots until, like, almost the day of.
Yeah, same with me. But, no, I did the same thing with, as like, just for Cassie, because the background was he was like, a skinny, scrawny kid, but he was taller than most of the kids his age, and he had a friend who was super short and got picked on, but yet him trying to protect him is what also got that kid killed and the rest of the people around him, so he's slowly getting away from being the protector because, again, being that is what got his friends killed.
For real, I'm so glad you changed your concept. The original Ricochet was basically Mouth from the Goonies.
It was, yes. Yes, it was.
Looking back at it, yes.
Gotta get his ass kicked constantly. I know. It would have been such a problem.
And we were, I was like, yes, that's gonna be awesome, but like, no.
Like,
and,
no, you say that, but you're gonna hate it like an hour in. Yep. Like, why is everyone picking on me? Because you have actively been asking for it.
Yep. Okay, next question. Why did everyone in Hops fall silent and stop to look at them? They're outsiders, but clearly that was nothing new in town.
Well, it's true, but it's a combination of the subject matter they were talking about, and it's a good scene. You know, like we all know that trope. We've seen that time and time again.
Yep.
You know, where you walk into the room and like they fall silent because, you know, but yeah.
No one recognizes them. What are they right. doing?
And here? Again, it's the subject matter more than, you know, the fact that they're, I mean, it's both, but
yeah.
You know.
Okay. Next question. What's with the family that lives next to Farfor's Peck?
It wouldn't be for their vacationing. Lives.
Yeah, well, he put lives.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know, but I'm just clarifying. It's like, I don't know, they're a nice family that's there for vacation.
Who no longer have Twinkies.
Right?
Yeah. Somebody stole all the Twinkies.
Actually, that, you know, wouldn't that be crazy if that started a domestic episode?
We wake up that family, the mother and father arguing with each other.
Yeah, like the police or the sheriff's there hauling him off because, like, you know, you ate the last Twinkie and he punched her in the mouth because it's the world of darkness.
Good way to get a scrag in there.
Right? The kids are orphans now. They got to go to the fucking home.
Oh, boy.
Cassie just wanted a fucking Twinkie that bad. Cassie Homewrecker.
Oh.
Orphan Maker.
Orphan Maker. Jesus.
Okay, these next two questions I already know the answer to, but I'll ask them. Why do they have a burger experiment on the island? That seems pretty fishy.
Well... Burger experiment. I like how that's phrased. Also, it's not fish, it's beef. Fish is a vegetable. I mean, basically. The little inside baseball on that, I actually, when I lived outside of Boston, and, you know, not Boston proper, but the local Wendy's was a test kitchen. So, like, every 2 or 3 weeks, they would have, like, a brand new special burger. Like, so some of those aren't fake, like those that I've been explaining. Like, no, I've had those in actual Wendy's. It was like, hey, we're trying this burger out. It's going to go national if it sells well. So I thought, you know, that would be fun. There are also plot reasons. So, you know, stay tuned.
And the next question is Wendy's your worm-tainted burger joint?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And last question, how did you come up with a background? It's for the players. How did you come up with your background? What was what was your inspiration, I guess? Obviously Goonies for Danny.
The first iteration.
Cobra Kai.
The second was Cobra Kai, yeah. No, yeah, it was a very big part of it. It was Cobra Kai, but I built off of it from that.
I mean, it's true. Because you just say Cobra Kai, that sounds so dumb and shallow. Yeah. He's like, I wanted a karate man.
No.
But no, it's more than that.
It started off as Cobra Kai, someone learning self-defense, if you will, to help his friend. But the friend, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear for where Night Thing started as a character concept.
Yep. In a comic book.
Gotham City.
Well, it was picking the hero first, because Spider-Man was in the running for a little bit there, but... Why not go with Batman if you get the option?
And Batman makes a little bit more sense.
That's just where it's the little guy, too.
That too, yes.
If you get the chance, go for Batman.
Mel?
I just came up with the concept, sat down in front of my computer with the Word program open, and started typing. And whatever came out of my head just ended up on the page. I read it over, made a few changes, made more changes, and then submitted it to Porter to read.
No Inspirato, huh?
Nope.
I promise usually I will someday.
It was one of those things that, you know, either it comes out in a flow of inspiration or it doesn't, and it's a struggle. In this particular case with Cassie, it was easy to sort of come up with.
Tombo?
Tombo. All right. My big thing was I knew I was making a Strider. And I knew I was making a Thurge because I really wanted to push my boundaries. And I was like, okay, so I'm trying to make it a little easier for me since I'm pushing my boundaries on when I need to have a background of something that already travels. So I instantly went with Carnival. So his background is Carnival. And I wanted to be acrobatic. And this sounds very Robin Hood, or not Robin Hood, Robin from Batman, which I didn't even realize until I wrote it. And I'm like, holy hell.
Really do got like the Justice League over here.
We really do, because my initial start of my background was I was writing Robin.
Very Flying Graysons.
Yeah, because I was like, because I wanted to be acrobatic and I wanted him to be in a carnival. So that got tweaked a little. He still got acrobatics, obviously, because of some of his gifts, but carnival. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, my biggest inspiration was just trying to live the carny life. And writing that as my background.
There's a little Joe Dirt in there, wasn't there?
There was a little bit of Joe Dirt in there, yeah.
I never wanted to say it out loud, because I wasn't sure.
It's the looks. It's his looks. He looks like Joe Dirt.
Got the mullet?
He does.
Oh, my God.
Mullet in the fanny pack.
You sure?
Yeah, I wrote it in there.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm going to be, you know, talking to some people about getting some artwork for the actual play.
Okay.
So to make sure you are set with the mullet before I put money on the table.
It's 93, man. He's right. Got a mullet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
Just making sure that is clear. Oh, my God.
All right. Next question.
That's it.
No, that was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit. It was a lot of questions.
It was a lot of questions. I'm impressed we got through them all.
I am too.
I am impressed if y'all stuck through to listen to them all.
For the 12 of you still listening.
Like to thank you both.
Yes, to all who sent in the questions, thank you so much. Right. It's a big deal. We appreciate it.
And, you know, keep them coming. We're going to be, keep them coming. I think tomorrow we are wiping that room.
Yeah.
Like cleaning it.
So, oh, yeah, the room will be cleaned out.
Yeah. So, you know, more questions, you know, we'll do another one when we've got enough and we're ready.
Yep. Another couple of chapters, probably, maybe three.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens when it happens.
How full of, or how fast it fills up. That's what she said.
Whoa.
Yikes.
Okay.
You heard it here first, friends.
But on that note, we got to get to game.
Yes, we do. So, on behalf of, well, all of us here, the Dream Chasers and myself, we want to thank you for listening. Thank you for sending in those questions. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Keep your claws sharp. Your head in a swivel. See ya. Also, it's not fish, it's beef. Fish is a vegetable.